From HanselMinutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 563. In this episode, Scott talks with Kimberly Hansen about her startup Signal FM and the current state of speech to text.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. Today I'm talking with Kimberly Hansen, computer scientist and a co-founder of Signal FM. How's it going?
Hey, very good. Yourself?
I'm thrilled to be talking to you because I am interested in all things automated speech recognition and speech to text, and you've got a startup that does just that.
We do, and we've been practicing on you. We've got a few hundred transcripts now. It's very lovely.
Am I hard to turn from speech into text?
Well, we actually cheated a little bit. We did a few automated ones, and then we went and ripped back through your archives, thanks to Carl at PWOP. Thanks, Carl. But no, you're good. In general, good sound production equals good automated transcripts, right? So you got that end covered?
Yeah, there was a time that I would pay transcriptionists to make, you know, like a court reporter to make them. And it's like a buck a minute, you know? Like, I mean, I respect the job and what they're doing, but when you've got 300 hours of stuff, it's going to add up. And I'm afraid that while I really want our non-native English speakers and our hard of hearing listeners to have transcripts, I've had to do them just onesie-twosie at this point.
Yeah, it's basically infeasible for even at your level, when you start getting to, you know, 1,000 listeners, 2,000 listeners, you just can't do it, right? And the nice thing about this automated speech-to-text stuff that's coming in is that, yeah, it's totally feasible for pretty much anyone to have 100% transcription. Now, when you start to talk about the quality, that's a bit of a different story, of course.
Is this different from, like, my first kind of foray into speech-to-text, I think, and everyone's, would be Dragon Naturally Speaking 10, 15 years ago. And it always felt like it was, like, an awkward 80%.
Yes. Yeah. And I had the same experience. And I actually went back and did some research in preparation for this. Ray Kurzweil started in speech to text. You know that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where that's his whole passion, initial passion.
Yeah. And I mean, I kind of learned that. I look over the last 30 years here and I'm like, well, I can see why someone in speech to text would be a futurist. I get that mindset now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Dragon stuff, you know, it's, you go listen for a bit and try some stuff and you get disappointed and go back to writing. And then Siri kind of hits in 2011. Siri, please, you know, direct me to a corner store or whatever. And that doesn't really work either. So what we're seeing right now, this IBM kind of got into the game early with Watson, and that hit in a big way. And then, you know, Google, obviously, it's got its stuff, and Microsoft is really starting to get into the swing of things. This stuff has really only started to hit the cloud in the last couple of years, and we're starting to see an arms race come up, right? Amazon's getting in there. There's some open source stuff.
So when you say hitting the cloud, you mean that the processing work that is happening when you turn the speech into text happens in the cloud, not on the local machine?
Right. And actually, the language models are humongous. We're talking about gigabytes and gigabytes of information, and it's just not feasible to have it locally for the most part. Now, of course, you know, hardware changes, so that could change in the next couple of years. But for right now, you gotta process up in the cloud for sure.
Okay. So when I talk to Siri or to Alexa, that Alexa is sending everything I said into the cloud, the little box on my desk isn't doing the work.
Actually, you know what? I don't know for sure. I believe Siri does have some local stuff. Don't quote me on this, guys. Someone's going to yell at me. But I know for sure that Watson, for instance, yeah, that's going back up to the servers.
Right. And I know that Alexa listens for the word Alexa or the word Echo, and then it just sends the file up. And whenever it's blue, it's talking to the cloud, which is interesting because there's the power of the cloud, but there's also the idea that you can upgrade the cloud and not upgrade the device. So, you know, today's Alexa device is going to work like amazingly well in 5 years if they keep that model going.
Yeah, right. And there's two interesting things about that. So one, stuff is progressing at a phenomenal rate. I've been working really closely with this stuff since March, April of last year. And mm-hmm. just since then, I've seen a humongous increase in quality. Like, we've seen stuff go from like, 85 kind of percent-ish, to getting up into like 92, 93, 95, you know, kind of 100. So this stuff is moving very quickly. If you're talking about assumptions you made 6 months ago, they're out of date.
That's a big statement though.
It's one of these things where it's now at the point where, we've got this sort of like pretty complex process. And if you spot a problem, you can sort of start to tackle it.
Mm.
If you look at what the work that IBM Watson, for instance, is doing, that's the one with which I'm most familiar. They just introduced speaker diarization 3 months ago.
Diarization.
Okay. Diarization. And what that is speaker one, speaker two, Kim's talking, Scott's talking. If you talk about a conversation without labeling speakers, it's just a hot mess of garbage. It's completely unreadable. You can't do anything with it as a human being. Once you've broken that up by speaker one, speaker two, then suddenly it becomes this sort of much more approachable thing. Now, that's just since September, right? That's the kind of progress we've made. We went from wall of text to, okay, this looks kind of like a transcript. Now, it's not good. If we were to peel this back right now, you'd be like, that's not me. That's not Kim. But, that's happening right now. The other thing that's happening right now, is that we're now actually able to feed stuff back into the cloud against specific corpuses. So, for instance, we're taking all those lovely corrected transcripts that we have for you, and we can take those, put them back into the cloud, and say, like, look, Hanselman's going to use these words. He sounds like this. And so stuff's going to get better for you specifically once we point it at that corpus. Again, not something that most anyone outside of the big hitters would have been capable of 3 months ago.
So for people who aren't maybe not be familiar with that word, corpus is typically a collection of written text. Like it's the main body of some structure. So the corpus of Hansel Minutes is the sum total of my work. And it sounds like you can modify your algorithm, like you said, you can train it and then run it again and it gets better and better.
Yep, that's right. Yep. And it's mostly against keywords. Now this is actually we've actually just been experimenting with this in the last week or so. I had my hopes pretty high, I think. I was hoping that it would start to pick up, okay, well, Scott Hanselman will pause in this way, for instance, or will, you know, like he uses ellipses rather than periods, say. It's just looking for keywords right now.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So you can tell it, I'm going to say XML or .NET. Right. Or WebM, not WebMD. What's it called? WebM or WebRTC. You can fill in all of those little words. Like if I were a doctor and we were talking about medical stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, that's good. That's, you know, very, very useful. But when it comes to speech to text, we're now at the point where the words themselves are pretty much okay. Like I say, you know, 92, 93, 95%. It looks pretty good. You're as long as you're not getting into really esoteric stuff. For the most part, it's pretty spot on. The place where we need to do work now is that punctuation, is that speaker identification, is the stuff that turns it from just a line of words to something that looks like written text.
Mm.
Because you can speech to text the thing that I just said, I went and I spent half a second doing that.
Right.
That you wouldn't be upset not to see that in a transcript, but when you start to read it and try to get the flow of the words, it's a very different story. It's a very different feeling, right?
Interesting. I use Siri extensively, like a ton. And the number one thing I tell people when they're not happy with Siri is to speak the punctuation, which of course isn't reasonable for us in a podcast, but it's actually changed my brain a little bit so that I could be talking to you right now, comma, and then I would just continue, period. And then I would start a new sentence, comma, and even say things like semicolon, and then say, what do you think? Question mark. So I can, you know, if I was going to say something, I would say, hey, Siri, text my wife. How's it going? Question mark.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it reads it and it knows exactly what I said and it's perfect. And I've always felt that was a strength of Siri, but it's also a complete user interface fail.
Did I just hear Siri in the background?
You did. I just said it to Siri and Siri jumped up.
Perfect. Yeah. And it totally does change the way that you communicate. I enunciate more. I change my tone more. Little known fact, women actually have a much smaller natural range between peak highs and lows in their voices, which
really?
Is yes, yeah. So we're at a distinct disadvantage with this stuff. Siri has a hard time with us.
You're in a disadvantage.
Disadvantage. But that's which leads to women actually varying their tone artificially more.
Interesting. Yeah. So enunciation, of course, you know, enunciation, I did a lot of high school theater. So speaking like a newsreader in a very clear voice, making it unambiguous, like I'm enunciating right now, is different from varying your tone?
It's different, right? So, if you, Kim will try to talk like this and to bring her listeners in like this. I'm doing that artificially. I've been doing it since I could talk, right? So it's natural for me, but it's actually not the way that I would normally communicate. The way to normally communicate is quite a bit flatter. So, and this gets into psychology and all sorts of crazy stuff and like, you know.
But from a computer science perspective, you're saying that that makes the transcripts, the speech to text work better.
The variation in tone, yeah. No, it doesn't. It makes it easier to listen to, but it actually has no effect on the speech to text. So
I see.
So,
but enunciation does.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Like I was explaining to some relatives the difference between English and American, and one of the examples I gave was, you know, you can learn all kinds of English, but then also someone will say, "Know what I'm saying?" And they're like, "Gnome saying, gnome saying." Like, no,
like, this
do
is
you
a
know
saying
what I am
gnomes?
Saying? Yeah, like gnome saying. You know, I was in Alabama and I asked for some coffee and she says, "Use cream." I'm like, did I scream? No. She's asking if you use cream.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, gnome saying is, do you know what I am saying? That's, you're going to put that in the corpus now.
Yeah. Well, and it's exactly that kind of stuff, right? And you get into that dialectical language and these things start to have a problem, but you train them up and everything's fine.
Mm-hmm. What about accents? I am in the Pacific Northwest, and when I speak like this, this is my newsreader, my Peter Jennings voice.
Yeah.
And, you know, people say that this is, they wouldn't say it is accentless, they've said it before, but it is more of an unaffected speech.
Well, now that's interesting. So I went and visited a friend in Australia. He was originally from England, and he insisted that he could speak with no accent. And so he reproduced received pronunciation for me, to which I replied, "No, that's an accent. That's an English accent."
Oh, yeah.
Accents, you again, it's all a matter of where you originate from. You get into some of the more esoteric stuff, you're going to have a problem. Interestingly, what I've actually found, and this is totally anecdotal, someone can, you know, don't yell at me, but it seems like these things are actually really good at Boston accents, and I put that down to MIT.
Nice. Right? MIT out of Boston. So they've trained themselves to listen to themselves. So if you're from Southie, it probably understands you exactly.
Yeah. Martin Sheen, if you're out there, this thing is perfect for you. It's got
interesting.
You
need to go and do all the West Wing corpus now.
Oh, you know what? More on that later. Yeah.
Some of those speeches are pretty epic. They're big, long walls of text. It'd be interesting to get 100% on that.
I'm sure that Rishi would thank the stars because the amount of cutting that poor man must have to do for the West Wing Weekly, I don't know.
I'd like to take just a quick moment and thank Audible for supporting this podcast. If you love this podcast, you're going to love Audible because they've got an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original shows, news, comedy, and more. They're great to listen to when you're driving. I go to Seattle all the time and I've got 4 or 5 hours to kill, so I use Audible audiobooks. And for our audience, Audible is offering a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial. Just go to audible.com/Hanselman. Feel free to tell people about this URL. Spread the word. It's a free audiobook. audible.com/Hanselman. You can go and browse their selection of audio content. I've been listening to The Martian, which is amazing. The movie was good. The book is better. So make sure that you check out audible.com/Hanselman to get a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial. And thanks again to Audible for supporting this podcast. Now, I've got, I just got switched from AT&T to Verizon, and I did not know when I got this phone, it's an iPhone, that they were going to text me my voicemails as text. So when I get a phone call from my brother, and then suddenly I get this weird text, and it basically has, you know, someone called into work, ... in the day later because ... It's crazy out there. Why are they doing that to me? What are they trying to say?
Well, it is easier to consume. And at a glance, you can tell whether that content is interesting to you. And that's actually historically been the problem with audio. Someone, hey, I just listened to this amazing Hansel Minute show. You got to listen to it. I'm going to send you this half hour of audio, and I'm going to hit you over the face with it. And it's just not an appetizing proposition. I mean, you know, no offense. As a non-friendly, you don't know it's in there. It's a big, dumb MP3. You're not going to, it's hard to access. Once you turn that thing into text, suddenly you can kind of look at the top and, okay, this, oh, wow, they're talking about this speech to text thing. I like that. Great. Click. Those text messages that you're getting may not be perfect, but one, they're going to improve. And two, they do make it so that you can screen, you know, your neighbor that you're not so fond of or whatever.
Mm-hmm. That ... is that saying they had no idea and it's just not transcribed?
Probably. Or, I mean, so with any of this stuff, you'll get a confidence score normally.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're very confident that Scott said cow here. We're not so confident they said door over here. And so they're probably just lopping off the bottom and calling it good. And again, it's enough that you can kind of tell the general flavor of this, right? It's interesting, actually. So we talk about Alexa, we talk about speech to text, and what you're starting to see is these sort of two broad areas, of this work. What, you know, one is, hey, we need you to speak commands into a thing, then we're going to go off and do stuff, which obviously punctuation is not very important. You're just looking for keywords, right?
Right.
And the other is, yeah, the speech to text stuff. The command stuff, obviously, like if you were at CES this year, toothbrushes had microphones on them. Like, it's just everywhere. And that stuff is developed pretty far, but the speech to text community is a little self-conscious still. It knows that it's not perfect. And so they hide behind the ellipses, and that'll last, you know, for a little while here.
Doesn't that imply that we're going to be stuck at 95% recognition forever? It's like it's going to be asymptotically approaching the 100%?
Well, sort of, but probably not for a few reasons. One, just the natural language model stuff is increasing at a tremendous rate, and there's still tons of just really low-hanging fruit here.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it's not necessarily all about the machines. So one thing is that let's take podcasts as an example, right? You've got, there are approximately 75,000 active podcasts today. Hundreds of thousands, millions of minutes of audio. Now, podcasters skew young, rich, educated, and extremely loyal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, I mean, you know, your audience is listening to this and they've got you in their ear once a week And
yeah, apparently my young, rich, extremely attractive audience that you just, just listed all the characters.
Yeah. You know, you give them the opportunity to say, okay, look, I want to, for instance, tweet this thing out that Scott just said. Oh, hey, but the period, you know, there's a little punctuation in the wrong place. Hey, I'll go ahead and correct that up a little bit so that I can tweet it and I can share Scott's stuff, right? Wow, look at that. Now we've got this nice corrected transcript. Hey, we can feed that back up to the machines and build up our corpus. No problem, right? So we're looking at a power function here, right? The second this stuff gets to the point where it's kind of mostly good enough, like it works, it's something that your phone doesn't mind showing you, for instance, then suddenly we can make available more and more and more and more training data, and that just, you know, the AIs will take that and run with it. Now you're cooking with fire, sort of thing, right?
Interesting. So does that mean that, like right now, we will hire a transcriptionist to make a PDF and I'll get an email that a sentence is wrong or that something, or, you know, even a misspelling in my blog, right? You know, typos and speechos, there's a small change. Are you saying you could potentially open up the interface, like not quite Wikipedia style where they could write mean things about you, but they could change a percentage of the, like an anonymous user could change a percentage of the text and then you a number of those people do it, you vote on it, you pick the right one, and then that's now training data?
And I think that's a way, place we could go. Like, my background is in games. I made video games for a long time. And, you know, people like to do this stuff. You ever played the game Katamari Damacy?
Yeah, the spinning ball that picks up stuff and keeps going.
Yes, and the first one was fantastic. I play it once a week at least. It's basically a vacuum cleaner. You know, a simulation, right? You're going around your living room, essentially, and you're picking up all the bits and, you know, once you're finished, it's all clean and it feels good, right? People like doing this stuff. Especially if there's a lot in it for them. For instance, hey, I get to tweet out this thing or I get to share it on Facebook. No problem. You know, just put that system in place and sort of see what happens, kind of.
I see what you're saying. So people like to tidy up. People like to straighten crooked pictures. Enabling them to do that, maybe even while they're listening to my show, makes it better for everyone.
Yeah.
And you could gamify that and they could become, you know, official Hansel Minutes transcribers, editors.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, hopefully we can give them that opportunity someday.
So that gets, let's get into more to your product, because I've had transcriptions where it's like, here's a PDF. On my other podcast, This Developer's Life, we crowdsourced the transcription. So we put it up on GitHub and we asked everyone to use Markdown and they all did pull requests.
Oh, you made a friend for life just now, man. I'm going to talk to you
like
so
that?
Much about this. Yeah.
Yeah. You can have all that. It's all on GitHub. It's all ready for you. But Signal FM has animated transcriptions, and I just can't stop staring at it. Maybe you could share with us what that looks like.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah, so if you have your PDF sort of over to the side, and hey, I want to look something up. When did Scott say this thing they were talking about? You know, whatever it was, and it's kind of over there outside of your environment. By the time you get back to the audio, you're kind of out of the loop. Like it doesn't really work that well, right? Once you animate this stuff, once the words that are coming out of my mouth are displaying on screen while I am saying them, right? Suddenly, hey, what were they talking about 30 seconds ago? Oh, look, there it is. It's right in sync, right? I had this interesting experience the other day where the transcript had actually broken halfway through. And so I was sitting there and like you were saying, I was following along, and suddenly there's audio, but no words. And it was like they were leaving the room. It was this horrible, lonely, bereft feeling, like these people that I had been, you know, talking with were now gone. There's this physicality to, having this sort of like running transcript going, and, that's just one small piece, but there's so much interesting stuff to sort of dig into.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we're headed.
Have you seen, you know how when on, there's shows where they'll do subtitles, right? Like someone speaks Spanish, they put in a subtitle. It's a different feeling if they do the subtitle up near the person's mouth, or if they are like, this person's sending a text message, and then they'll put a little thing at the bottom that says, you know, the name, whatever the text message is. That's a different feeling than if they kinetically put an animated text message attached to the person's phone. So you, basically, I'm saying that I'm hearing you describe that the kineticness, the motion, the animation of that connects you more to the speaker and to the source of the audio. And when it's gone, it feels like a gap.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly it. It's funny how much we spend our lives reading right now. And that's actually how we consume so much of our social. You text people and you Facebook message them and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that does feel like speech. And so, there's exactly put the words near the mouth and suddenly it's a very different experience. I think that your friend Mark Miller, actually, we were kind of chatting through various means, and he was saying like, look, this stuff, by the way, is great for comprehension because you're listening and you're reading at the same time. Mm. And it's triggering those two centers of the brain, right? So my thing is we don't really understand, like that thing you just said about putting the transcript near the mouth. No scientist, no sort of researcher would have said, well, that's really interesting, but it is really interesting. And there's tons of just, what does this do? What does this do? How does this feel work to do? It's just UX, right? But it's fascinating because it is, it's almost a new medium. It's a new way of looking at podcasts. it's a new way of consumption.
Have you noticed the proliferation of little news videos on Facebook that you can watch and watch them on mute because they have animated text flying in that tells you everything? So you get one experience if the sound is muted and one if it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And maybe like 4 or 5 years ago now, there was a Stephen Fry video where he's talking about language, it's all kinetic typography. And, you know, that it was, it's this, even now, it's a jaw-dropping experience. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. This will happen more and more and more and more as we erase the line between audio and text and start to blend it, meld it together. You go to that place where you can easily parse something without having your speakers on, and then you dial up the experience a little bit. You dial it up a little bit more.
And you believe, you said this to me, that we're going to reach the point where we'll be able to record everything and then transcribe everything.
Oh gosh, how much time you got? I do think that because there are so many reasons. I mean, we use Alexa in our homes right now, and we use it for a lot of stuff. There are so many reasons why in your day-to-day life you might wish to have that recording. And it sounds a little creepy, and, you know, maybe not for everyone, but for myself, the idea of not having to take notes in meetings is a stupid example. Like, it's simple, but that's an attractive use case for me. Mm-hmm. I take a lot of meetings, right?
You're also making me worry, though, that means I'm going to have to then search my entire life. Like, imagine there is a future person who will have every bit of text that they've ever spoken available to them. And I realize that I can't effectively search my email and find what I want. You know what I mean? So search is going to need to improve as well.
Search is going to need to improve. Yeah. I mean, there's a Black Mirror episode about this.
I was just going to say that. There's always a Black Mirror episode about anything that's creepy or future-y.
But I mean, that's why we gotta be conscientious and good-hearted about this stuff.
Right. And there's going to be people that are going to choose to not, you know, not want that new technology and want their privacy. We're going to have opt-out buttons. So when people walk up to me with their always recording microphone, that it won't always record.
Well, I don't know when that happens, but I do know that the world that we're stepping into is not one that people are probably aware of right now. The when the internet came around, we had this fantastic information explosion, right? We're doubling information every 6 weeks or something now. And what, it'd take you and I about an hour to lay down 10,000 words as transcribed. Okay. And so what I'm saying is that the difference between the amount of information available and searchable and usable before the internet, the difference between that and after the internet is the same as the difference between when the internet was text and when the internet was sound. It's an orders of magnitude explosion in the amount of information available. And people don't probably get that right now, but they'll see it happening. So
when do you feel that your startup will be ready for us to play with?
Well, you can play with it a little bit now. Our good friend Richard Campbell over at .NET Rocks has graciously lent us some audio from one of his Geekouts episodes. You can go to geekouts.xyz. Mess with that if you want to.
Geekouts.xyz.
Geekouts, like a nerd, but a geek.
Nice.
In terms of larger usage, we're a pretty small team, so we're going forward as fast as we can, but stuff's starting to happen, so I'll keep you guys up to date. If you head to Signal FM, that's signl.fm, and sign up for our newsletter, we'll make sure that you know what we're doing.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much, Kimberly Hansen from Signal FM, for talking with me today.
Thank you so much, Scott. This was great.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.